we present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the news quiz. We start with a headline spotted in the Canadian Times, read by Zeb Soans.
Man who tossed suitcase of cash in water found guilty of money laundering.
And our thanks to Patricia Wilkinson for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Bob Mills. And opposite them on my left, Bridget Christie and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, whose speech was bordering on unwelcoming?
It's the Queen's speech.
Mm.
Or actually, to give it its official title,
yes.
The Gracious Speech,
oh.
Apparently. That's
right.
What it's called. I think probably because that's what the Queen thinks while she's reading it out. Gracious! What is a hybrid HS2 bill? Or an antisocial behaviour? Oh, actually, she does know about that. She's married to Prince Philip. And the striking thing was, what wasn't in it? She left out all the things that had been promised, like minimum pricing for alcohol and plain packaging for cigarettes, because it suddenly dawned on Cameron that Nigel Farage is always photographed with a fag in one hand and a pint in the other, and he's become very popular on the strength of it. And so the Tories have done a little U-turn, and they're now going into the next election as the party of fags and booze.
I quite liked Ed Miliband warned Cameron that he couldn't out Farage Farage, which sounded like the second verse of Que Sera Sera.
I made a great discovery today. Do you know, I used to live in Malaya when I was a boy. Do you know what the Malay word for vagina is?
Please tell me it's Farage.
It is.
They clearly have been rattled by UKIP, and they've put silly immigration stuff, like any time the gas man comes around, you've got to ask for his passport. And, you know, we've all got to be on alert to stop foreigners. We should take all the road signs down, because that's how they get around and know where places are. And we've all got to melt down our railings and turn them into pikes to attack foreign people with.
What's the funny thing about the idea that doctors are now supposed to check? Is that right? You're supposed to check whether somebody is an illegal immigrant?
Which I don't think you can really tell by putting thermometers up people, really. I mean, how...
You can make them say certain words. Squirrel, that's what we used to do in the war.
What, squirrel?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you remember the war?
I'm aware that it happened. We used to make Germans say, if we thought you were a spy, we used to make you say squirrel, as Germans can't say squa.
Do you know what the German for squirrel is?
Go Please on. Tell me it's Farage. Did you watch it, Bridget?
Bits of it, but I thought it was a bit...
It was only 9 minutes long. How is your attention span?
Well, because I couldn't help thinking, are all these robes and everything going to be dry cleaned? I couldn't help thinking about the cost and all the gold and the robes and the fur and
It was kind of Wu-Tang Clan meets ABBA, wasn't it?
It was too much.
As a sequel to the King's speech, it was pretty poor, I thought.
So it could have been worse. Could have been the Prince's speech.
Oh, that was that.
You see Prince Charles?
I did. I quite liked it when she turned to Camilla and said, and what do you do? I thought it was... The government used the Queen's speech to unveil a new immigration bill which expects private landlords to check the immigration status of their tenants. Under the immigration plans, migrants will also face new restrictions on access to the NHS, with some foreign nationals having to wait months before they are legally allowed to perform operations. 2 points to Francis. Bob, have a listen to this. Bob, who wants to cut our losses with our continental cousins?
Give them their due. They did have the best tunes.
That's a cracking
song.
I love that.
That's a cracking song. That is.
Yeah.
My old school song. That was.
What, the anthem of the EU?
I thought that was the Ode to Joy Division.
Is it the theme tune? Do you call it the theme tune?
It is the
Europe.
It's the
Europe
anthem.
Got a theme tune?
The anthem.
An anthem.
Yeah.
They've got an anthem. It's reared its head again. Because, as you know, we had a terrible death in the family recently, and the Baroness shuffled off the mortal coil. And the day she died, suddenly all these fusty old men, like Lamont and that bloke whose daughter's a chef, all suddenly woke up.
I'm sure that's how he's going to want to be remembered.
So they've now reared their ugly head and said, we shouldn't be in Europe, we should get out of Europe, which is fine, it didn't really matter, but Portillo's now joined in.
Mm.
And you can argue with Lamont, you can argue with Dawson, but Portillo is now, as we know, the most popular politician in the country.
I think Nigel Lawson, I have to say, is a somewhat vain and preening character. I was discussing this with my daughter, Jeremella, only the other day.
We're now saying that we should be out of Europe altogether. It's dead and buried, it's defunct, it's not fit for purpose. Let's pull out. And you see, David's got a problem, because David knows that he's only really tolerated by the party. Because what the thing in the Conservative, they don't mind if you lose. If you lose, that's fine. Just go at the back of the queue, and in a couple of years, you'll be Foreign Secretary again. And if you win, that's what we expect. But if you, because he got this stupid, horrible, mealy-mouthed, hung parliament thing, and he's only really half a prime minister, he knows that he's on borrowed time. And so this whole momentum is growing, and we're going to leave Europe, and I think we'll be out by July.
I was on the bus on the way here, and there was a man on the phone to somebody, and he said, yeah, it was on. Yeah, last week. Yeah, there's a new party, UKIP. 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 I don't know his name. Short bloke. Wears a coat. But apparently, Farage's popularity apparently is because he wears an overcoat.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen any of the other party leaders wearing an overcoat?
Or a hat?
I've never seen them in
they
a coat.
No, they won't wear a coat. They'll just
Why
go
not?
Out in there because they think it makes them look...
What, they're beyond weather?
Because they're trying to impress people at Newcastle. They're after that, crucial Newcastle
coats?
Vote. They don't wear coats in Newcastle, whereas Farage is going for the pensioners who wear coats all year round.
Former Conservative Chancellor Nigel Lawson has called for the UK to leave the EU, putting fresh pressure on David Cameron to set a date for the referendum. Lawson wrote in The Times that while I voted in 1975, I shall be voting out in 2017. Wow, it's the longest game of hokey-cokey ever. Right, 2 points to Bob. Bridget, which monarch has been grounded until further notice?
The Queen.
Yeah, the Queen.
Basically, they're trying to get Prince Charles to take over some more of her duties. So he is going to replace the Queen at the Commonwealth Games in November because she's not fit enough. He started training already.
Yeah.
And that's why Alex Ferguson has retired.
He's
going to be training him up. And
is he doing a sack race with Robert Mugabe? Is that?
They've started training him up. No, basically, the Queen is going to try and give some of her juice, especially long-haul trips, onto Charles. So he is going to represent her at the meeting of Commonwealth heads in Sri Lanka.
Oh, it's very sweet that send your child to work day also happens with the royals. It's rather nice.
It's actually a bit deeper than that, isn't it?
Is
because,
it?
Well, it's not long. I don't know how long it takes to get to Sri Lanka, but I very much doubt she's in the middle seat of four on EasyJet. Quite honest. I think she has sort of pretty much a plane to herself, bless her, as she's entitled to. But I think the problem is, right from 2 years ago when they said it was going to be in Sri Lanka, someone would have said, well, she can't go. We can't ever go to Sri Lanka because the Sri Lankans will have their photo taken with them and it will legitimise them. What photo would make the Sri Lankan leaders look even worse than they actually are? Oh, I know. Let's send Charles to Camilla.
Maybe the Queen, if she's not going to do long-haul flights, she'll go on those cruises for the elderly. I used to be Queen, you know. Yes, of course you did, dear. Does she have a passport, the Queen, or she just take out a £5 note and point?
She never carries cash.
Does she not?
No.
How can she identify herself then?
That's a good stamps.
Oh, yeah, stamps. The Queen is to miss the Commonwealth Summit for the first time in 17 years, sending Prince Charles in her place as she tries to cut down on long-haul flights. For much of the last decade, Sri Lanka has had a severely damaged infrastructure and barely functioning government, so it's thought that Charles should feel right at home. 2 points to Bridget. Jeremy, who's finally blown the whistle on their career this week?
Well, thanks for giving me the football question. I did used to follow football. I did. I supported Chelsea. I could tell you who the FA Cup team 1970 was. That's how topical I get with football. Pinetti, McCready, Osgood, Princess
Cook.
Grace of Monaco, Jessica Mitford, the Andrews sisters. And he wrote up.
Well,
this relates to Fergie. It's a heartwarming story. She started as the jilted wife of the royal arms dealer, and now, of course, is known to a whole new generation as the female vocalist from the Black Eyed Peas. But in between those two gigs, she managed Man United. I don't know what he did. He bought loads of players and shouted at them, and they called him the hairdryer.
So,
I don't know why you'd think that if you wanted to make a point to somebody, you wouldn't go to the back of their head and breathe hot air on it, would you?
This job is clearly very important, this footballing job. How do they decide who the new manager is? Did they set, I don't know, fire to a car outside the Arndale Centre and see what colour the smoke was? How did they...
Well, they've already decided.
Have they?
Already made, because what they've had Sir Alex Ferguson, who is the very epitome of a dour, disciplinarian Scotsman, and they've given the job to a man called David Moyes, who is a dour, disciplinarian Scotsman. He's an exact carbon copy.
16 pages it was in the Telegraph. Yeah. This story.
Unbelievable. 16 pages. Every paper,
now,
16 pages.
Anybody could be a football manager. There's a ball and a 24-foot-wide goal. Kick it in the hole.
People do really think football is quite important. There was a BBC sports journalist who said it was the footballing equivalent of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
I heard that, yes.
It's football.
What did that mean? He retired and he'd got, I don't know, David Hasselhoff standing on top of him singing. I don't know what...
The Queen's speech debate was practically suspended so that Cameron and all the rest of them could pay their tributes. It's very odd, if you think about it, that Manchester United's success basically depends on all the things that Cameron is promising to stamp out, like big spending and hiring lots of immigrants.
After 26 years, Sir Alex Ferguson is retiring as manager of Manchester United Football Club. Ferguson has enjoyed 26 lucrative years of aggressively shouting at rich men, although, to be fair, there are women that offer the same service and make an awful lot more money. At the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Bob have got 4 points, but so too have Bridget and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Daily Express.
A woman has been fined after fleeing from a clinic without paying for Botox injections. Whilst receiving her sentence, the accused stood expressionless in the dock.
And our thanks to Jill Carr for sending us that. Francis, is that a 3D printout in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me?
Yes, it's actually slightly scary, this. Mm. There's a student in Texas who has made a gun with a 3D printer. He just printed it out and then fired it to show it worked. He sounds a right little charmer. I think he's called Cody Wilson.
He is, yeah.
And he said, of course, some people will say that this can be used to kill people. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a gun. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. He said, well, actually, that's quite a good reason for not doing it. These 3D printers, which I'm not entirely up to speed with, can essentially make anything, as long as it involves sticky back plastic.
After printing these guns, this man, Cody Wilson, wants to start printing prosthetic limbs. And you think, and they say the Americans don't understand irony. It's
That's the one good thing about it, that when your 10-year-old shuts himself away in his bedroom and prints out a Kalashnikov and then shoots himself and his brother, you don't need to worry because you just print some more children.
Yeah.
So, from my experience of printers, what will happen is you'll get part of the way through and then a little flashing red light will come on. And you'll just have a couple of legs and nothing else.
I didn't understand about this. The 3D printer itself costs, they started about $500, but presumably if you've got one, you can just print another one.
Well, it's a bit surplus to requirements, given that in America you can buy surface-to-air missiles in Walmart, isn't it?
There have been some great slogans, though. If anyone can print a cannon, cannon can.
I had a lovely moment when I read the article. I read it in one of the big papers, and it told you exactly what this machine was and what it did and how it could be used for this purpose, and I read it from the first word to the last, and then at the end, it was lovely because I could just fold up the paper and said, I no longer understand the world.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I can now just go and watch Doctors and have a cup of tea. How can you get a bone, a hip from someone and put it in a printer and then there's another hip? Do you have to put a sheet of bone in? I don't know. I'm not being facetious. Yeah. I don't know.
Then you start worrying about, could somebody fax you a gun?
Yes.
You could be assassinated really slowly.
It's finally drawn a line now that there is now an age limit if you want to shoot people. Because for me, if I'm ever reached the end of my tether and it's broken down and I've really turned on and I barricaded in my room, I would be shouting at the window, don't come near the house because I'll fire as soon as my son gets here and shows me how to use this machine.
The Liberator, the world's first working gun created by a 3D printer, has been successfully fired by its inventor, Cody Wilson, in Texas. America is up in arms about the 3D gun, as it could lead to the insane situation where anyone could own a gun. Oh, hang on a minute. 2 points to Francis. Bridget, who's in a class of their own when it comes to drinking?
Middle-class drinkers. They are the biggest problem drinkers, but they don't agree. They think that a drink problem is staggering around a provincial town on a Friday night with somebody else's sick in your beard. Oh. Rather than staggering around in their own houses with their own sick in their own beards. And they disagree with doctors and they're going in saying, I wouldn't call a 2006 bottle of Sancerre a drink problem, would you, doctor? I'd say it was a bit of a treat.
It wasn't even the bottle. It was this incredibly jolly woman from the University of Sunderland said some middle-class people, after a hard day's work and after putting the children to bed, will have a glass of wine as a reward and occasionally even two.
Wow.
It's the word reward that I find confusing because I think, well, do you deserve... I mean, yeah, if you've managed to track down and hogtie a cattle rustler and take him back to town and hand him over to the sheriff, maybe you're entitled to a reward. But just because you've been outside and come back in again, I'm not sure... really entitled. I'll tell you, I've had such a week. I mean, the cleaner is absolutely useless. I have to stand over her, literally, telling her what to do. You know. And
I think it's children. Children are apparently very stressful. So apparently when middle-class parents have got the children to bed, alcohol is sort of part of being an adult and free from the children. But I drink when the children are around.
Mm. Because the thing is, it's all that leftover Benlin and Texilex, isn't it? Because when you've got young children, you're living mainly on leftovers, aren't you? And it's like one for you and one for Daddy. So there's a load of Texilex around, there's a load of Calpol, and they kind of work quite well together because, you know, the Texilex brings you up a bit, Calpol just mellows you out.
Works. It's not got the same appeal, that's the problem. There's people want to watch programmes with people walking around Sheffield and Hull and Basildon, taking their tops off and fighting. Unfortunately, the middle-class equivalent would be a documentary where they go to Muswell Hill and there'd be four blokes and two women sitting around drinking port and occasionally going, yeah? And it's not as exciting.
I think we middle-class people, to be fair, are good home drinkers because if you drink at home, the logical corollary is recycling. Mm. Because you get to make up drinks if you drink at home because you've got all that weird duty-free. You've got things like Advocar, which is a kind of weird sort of liqueur made from phlegm. Limoncello, which tasted delicious when you were sunbathing in Sorrento. And you get it home and it's just like melted down boiled sweets. And when you're getting drunk at home, you just think, I've got some flat Coke and I've got some Advocar and I've got some 3-in-1 and some hummus. There's a cocktail!
The biggest problem drinkers are middle-class professionals who disregard health warnings, according to research from the University of Sunderland. Apparently, the middle classes see alcohol as a reward for everyday chores completed after work, and I must say I do that, although my biggest chore is cleaning away the bottles from the night before, so there is a certain circularity going on. The current recommended guidelines for drinking are 21 units per week for men, 14 for women and 10 for pets. At the end of round two, we're still at level pegging. Francis and Bob have got 8 points, but so too have Bridget and Jeremy. Before we start round three, here is a listing spotted in What's on TV magazine.
11:20 p.m. There will be blood. Period drama.
Our thanks to Anthony Fryer for sending us that. Jeremy, why is Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells no longer turned off?
Oh, apparently, the overwhelming majority of people, when asked, said there is just the right amount of sex on television. It's that perfect Goldilocks moment in our history of outrage that there is just enough. Presumably not just enough in every programme. Presumably it's on average. Like in Shameless, there's too much. Newsnight, not enough. Get them off, come on.
Was that Jeremy Paxman or Emily Maitlis?
Yes, no, apparently there is just the perfect amount of sex on television.
But what is the right amount of sex? Just enough to keep you awake, not enough for a heart attack?
It just
what is the...
Stares outside.
Fabulous age. We have research because, God bless her, if she was still with us, Mrs. Whitehouse, she would be sitting there and she'd turn the television on at 9 o'clock and at midnight she'd turn it off and say, yes, I think that was fine. There was some, but not too much. Finally, I've won. What are you doing over there? I'm just on my computer. You stick with the telly, we'll all be happy. It hasn't gone away, it's just moved.
Yeah, the funny thing about Mrs. Whitehouse was you see her on the television, she's all like that. Live, she was absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
Oh! She was so blue when you saw her live. You saw one of her summer seasons at Paignton. Oh!
I saw her doing a stag night in Romford. I walked out in disgust.
I think there's too much sex.
Do you?
Yeah.
What are you watching?
Well, the news mainly.
There's no sex on television anymore. I watch regularly Flog It, Escape to the Country.
I don't know what Flog It is, but it sounds...
Flog It's fantastic. Well, exactly. It's an easy mistake to make, yeah. Sandy. You think... You send the kids out, lock the door, think Flog It, and it's just a very attractive man in a cravat selling antiques.
Well, have you thought of being out more during the day? The number of people upset by the amount of sex on television is at a record low, according to Ofcom's annual survey of audience attitudes. 24% of people think there is too much sex on television, 66% think the level's about right, and 10% still can't remember which remote control turns the television on. Bridget, whose food bill received an icy reception?
Some tourists, English tourists, were charged 54 quid for an ice cream in Rome, and it's caused a massive fuss, apparently. But we have to say that it wasn't one ice cream, it was four ice creams, which I actually think is a bargain. But everyone's gone mad about it. And a councillor in Rome said, this is a terrible scandal and must be treated as such. I thought... I think there's some bigger scandals in Rome than...
If you go to Berlusconi's gelateria, what are you really expecting? I presume have we withdrawn our ambassador in protest? Yeah. Has it become an incident? Yeah.
They were tourists from the West Midlands, and so they'd obviously flown out of Birmingham Airport to Rome EasyJet Airport, which is actually in Bolton. So, in fact, it was a strange thing because they'd paid more for their ice cream than they did for their flights. So, obviously, that confused them slightly.
And he said, and then I paid him and he didn't even say thank you.
No, he said grazie or something. That's what he's talking about. I didn't understand him at all. Thought he was very rude. What's the other one in Italy? Venice. If you go to Venice, you know the big square. Tell me what's called St. Mark. Big square.
Madison Square Garden.
If you go there, it's hilarious because what they have is they have all these tables where you sit and they have a little orchestra play and they have a rope. And when you go, someone told me, don't go inside the rope. If you go in the rope and buy an ice cream, it's like £1,000. Because you get to, they've provided the musicians. But if you stand outside the rope, which majestically isn't soundproof, You can stand there with a fiver ice cream listening to the music.
Bob, do you stand outside lap dancing clubs as well with ice cream?
What way to go in?
With your ice cream.
You can peer in through the curtains.
The mayor of Rome has apologised after a group of British holidaymakers were charged £54 for four ice creams. The restaurant said in its defence that it offers a range of ice creams, small ones costing €3, medium ones costing 10, large ones costing 20. And for their specialty ice creams, customers could potentially be looking at hundreds and thousands. I've got more. The case against them was wafer thin. I can do... Magnum PI is investigating. The story was a real scoop. It's beneath my dignity to read them all out. We'd get brain freeze. Now, before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Ween.
Thanks to Rachel Gibbs for this. It's from the Tenby Observer, from the Bargain Buys classified ads. New, still in box. Bedwetting alarm. Cures bedwetting without medication. Unwanted gift from overzealous granny.
Ms. Christie.
A Langley clergyman has slammed unwelcome guests who have been drinking alcohol and having sex in the car park of his church. He said the lewd behaviour was an example of modern-day humans wanting a quick fix or instant pleasure. He lumped instant coffee, frozen peas and instant mash into the same category.
Mr. Hardy.
It's sent in by Joe Hopkins and it's from the Huffington Post. Deborah Arnott told the Huffington Post UK, claims that obesity are killing more people than smoking are simply not true. 100,000 people each year die from smoking, whereas figures from obesity aren't nearly as well worked out.
Let's take a look at the final score. Bridget and Jeremy have got 11 points. This week's winners are Francis and Bob with 12. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the BBC Sport website sent in by Ed Agnew.
Rugby forward Johnny Gray is celebrating having been handed a contract by Glasgow Warriors, along with two experienced hookers.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Bob Mills, Bridget Christie and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Togsvig and the news was read by me, Zeb Soames. The chair script was written by Rodri Crooks, Lucy Clark and Carl Carter, with additional material by Hannah George, James Bug and Bronya Maguire. The producer was Sam Bryant.